Welcome to this special edition of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Matt Hoffman, managing editor with Neurology Live. And today, I have breaking news. On Monday, January 10th, 2022, the FDA made the decision to approve daridorexant, a dual orexin receptor antagonist developed by Idorsia for the treatment of insomnia in adults. The agent will be marketed with the name QUVIVIQ, and is expected to become available for clinical use in May of this year following scheduling by the DEA. The basis for the agency's Monday decision to approve was from data from a clinical program that included 1,854 adults assessed across 160 clinical sites. The data show that treatment with daridorexant in doses of 25 milligrams and 50 milligrams resulted in significant improvements on objective measures of sleep onset and sleep maintenance, as well as patient-reported total sleep time when compared with placebo. Dr. Martine Closel, the chief scientific officer of Idorsia, noted in a statement announcing the approval that the therapy is designed to address specific challenges of insomnia and that its properties include, quote, a potent inhibition of both orexin receptors, a rapid absorption for sleep onset, and a pharmacokinetic profile such that around 80% of daridorexant has been eliminated after a night of sleep to help minimize residual effects. The therapy is designed to block the binding of the wake-promoting neuropeptides orexins aimed at addressing overactive wakefulness. Study investigator Dr. Thomas Roth, the director of the Sleep Disorders and Research Center at Henry Ford Hospital, spoke with us on the day of the FDA decision to offer some additional context on the clinical implications of this approval. As a note, Dr. Roth has been a consultant for pharmaceutical developers of the orexin antagonist class, including Idorsia, Eisai, and Merck, as well as many others who make other hypnotic agents. Here's Dr. Roth with his thoughts on the daridorexant news.
It's very important to understand that there are no comparative trials between, you know, this drug and any other sleep agents, any other orexin antagonists. So is this different than Eisai's drug or Merck's drug? We don't know the answer to that. Now, they have some very interesting data, which potentially have great advantage. So they were the first company to develop a scale to measure. So insomnia is defined as difficulty sleeping at night, difficulty falling asleep and staying asleep, and daytime impairment. So this company was the first one to develop a scale. They call it the IDSIQ, which has four scales, you know, sleepiness and emotional. And they did that, and they showed that people not only improved the difficulty sleeping at night, but their daytime complaints during the day. And specifically, they got significant improvements in sleepiness and mood. Those two scales showed significant improvements. Now, that doesn't mean the other drugs don't do that. It means they didn't evaluate it. If you look at any one of these drugs, they have a response rate of, you know, 50, 60%, which means there's a significant number of patients who don't respond. So this gives you an alternative. I can't speak to advantages. You have to understand something. I'm a very data-bound person. And right now, all the published literature on this medication consists of 7 abstracts. But in none of those do they have a comparative study to other medication. So I can't speak to advantages because there's no comparative data. Now, there is data on daytime function, which other companies don't have. And I think that's a potential advantage. Nothing unique about dosage administration or anything like that I'm aware of. Medication is taken 30 minutes before it lights out, before you go to bed, and they're told to stay in bed for 8 hours, and that's routinely done. If you look at the protocols where all these three orexin antagonists were studied, they're almost identical, except for Idorsia studying daytime function. Other than that, they are identical protocols.
In its 2 phase 3 clinical trials, the drug showed statistically significant improvement in sleep and daytime functioning as measured by the Insomnia Daytime Symptoms and Impacts questionnaire. Both Study 1 and Study 2, as they were named, were multicenter, randomized, double-blind, parallel group studies that included patients with insomnia. 930 of whom were randomly assigned 1:1:1 to daridorexant 25 milligrams, 50 milligrams, or placebo in study 1, and 924 of whom were randomized to 10 milligrams, 25 milligrams, or placebo in study 2. Both studies used change from baseline for month 1 and month 3 in latency to persistent sleep and wake after sleep onset measures, both objectively measured by polysomnography, as their primary endpoints. In study 1, doses of 25 and 50 milligrams demonstrated statistically significant improvement versus placebo on both measures, as well as self-reported total sleep time at both month 1 and month 3. All told, daridorexant dose-dependently increased total sleep time from baseline to month 3 more than placebo. In study 1, the 25 milligram group experienced an increase of 55 minutes, while the 50 milligram group experienced a gain of 61 minutes compared with placebo's improvement of 40 minutes. Similarly, in study 2, the 10 milligram group reported an improvement of 37 minutes and the 25 milligram group reported an improvement of 50 minutes, while the placebo group gained only 35 minutes. Both trials showed preservation of the sleep stage proportions from baseline to month 3 with no significant changes in any group. Here's Dr. Roth with a little more on the drug's efficacy in clinical trials.
Solid improvement in decreasing sleep latency, both in terms of objective measures of in sleep recordings, and they did the same thing in terms of patient reports, and they got a significant increase in total sleep time and wake time during the night. The data points which stuck out to me were the data points on daytime function. The other data points on nighttime sleep were not, you know, you can't compare across studies, but we're not significantly different from other studies on the other drugs in the literature. You know, they measured in a very systematic way something called, you know, they call it sleepiness, and I think they got it wrong. I think it's really fatigue. And patients with insomnia complain of fatigue, and they complain of impaired mood. And they got significant improvement on the sleepiness, what I call fatigue scale. And more importantly, got a big effect on the mood scale. So things like depression, anxiety, you know, as moods got significantly improved, which, you know, gives you promise for doing studies to look at, can you treat people, you know, if you have people on antidepressants and they don't get fully better, you know, the non-remitters, they say, if we add this on top of it, you know, will they get better? So by improving sleep, will this, in fact, give you a bigger antidepressant response? Years ago, I showed that if you give people a serotonin reuptake inhibitor and placebo, they don't do as well as if I give you the same serotonin uptake inhibitor and esopiclone. So, and give the fact that they got a significant improvement on the mood scales, I think shows a lot of promise. It's very important to understand, you know, the clinical trials are mostly done in patients, you know, who basically, about euphemistically, who used to be called primary insomnia. But what's really important to look at is how does it improve sleep in Parkinson patients? They have horrible sleep, and they're excluded from these trials. What does it do to people with major depression? So I think those are the things you got to look at as they move forward.
Finally, as it pertains to safety, the agent's safety profile was considered favorable in both Study 1 and Study 2. The most common adverse reactions that were reported in the development of the drug were headache, which occurred at a rate of 6% in the 25 milligram group and 7% in the 50 milligram group, compared with 5% in placebo, and somnolence or fatigue, which occurred at rates of 6% and 5% in the daridorexant groups, respectively, compared with 4%. In the placebo group. Here's Dr. Roth with his thoughts on the safety profile.
There are no major serious adverse events. You know, the normal kind of thing, a very small percent of people, you know, gave drowsiness. There was no increase in, there were no outstanding side effects. Even as you push dose up to the top dose, there was no big increase in side effects. And what's interesting is there's a dose response in terms of efficacy, but not so much in terms of safety. FDA has a great sense of fair play, and it's going to be scheduled the same as every other sleep agent, better, no worse.
For more coverage of daridorexant's FDA approval, you can check out the link in the show notes or head to neurologylive.com. Additionally, more coverage of the sleep disorder space can be found on our Sleep Medicine Clinical Focus page. Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. We'll be back this Friday with our regularly scheduled episodes. But look out for more breaking news and more special episodes throughout the course of 2022 and beyond. Visit NeurologyLive.com.